but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
It's a bad feeling, okay? Somebody breaks into your car, it's a bad feeling. I don't like that feeling. I've had it happen a couple times. Steven, have you ever had somebody break into your car, or break into your house? You violate your personal space, so to speak.
You know, no, not that I can think of. Okay. I'm very grateful for that.
Knock on wood. It's been a while. I feel like I should knock on wood. But I've had it happen twice in Portland. And I'll never forget this. We had one time, Curtis Rogers, who sat in your seat like a couple of generations ago. He's now in Seattle. He moved down to Portland. He had all his belongings in his car. Everything. His first night in Portland, Stephen. Someone stole his car. Welcome to town, buddy. We can't have that anymore. We need good stories. Positive stories. That's why we're bringing on our next guest, Greg Biggins, 24/7 Sports, National Recruiting Analyst, joining us live via satellite. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm ready to bring good news and good times, and everything's good. Angels are good, baseball. What are we doing here? Let's go.
I love it, man. Hey, thanks for making time for us. I saw a story today where I see this, you know, BYU is getting a quarterback from the class of 2026. They beat out Oregon for it, and then the story mentions, hey, Oregon's lost on a few players recently. Maybe that's just the cost of doing business when you're trying to recruit at the top level of college football, but should Oregon fans be wringing their hands over this, or what are you making of this?
You know what? I was just telling a friend today who was kind of getting giddy about how well his school was doing. I'm not going to name names. It's actually my older brother, and he's kind of giddy about his particular team. And I said, you know what? You never get too excited, too high or too low, about how your recruiting class looks in July, June, August. Just in the summertime, it just does not matter. Because once the season comes around and teams are going to win some games and they'll flip some guys and teams will lose and they'll get guys flipped. And so, like, right now, I get it. You know, Oregon, I think, has kind of established themselves as a school like an Ohio State, like a Texas, like a Notre Dame, you know, whatever. Like, they're a heavyweight, right? They are a legitimate heavyweight program when it comes to recruiting. I think people are used to them being in the top 10, if not top 5. So I think there, you know, might be some concern. I'm not concerned personally. I think it's so early. They're in on a ton of kids still. And there's a lot of time left between now and December.
I am looking at what BYU is doing. Tough to ignore this story, though. Five-star quarterback Ryder Lyons is picking BYU. It looks like BYU has had some real success, both in basketball and football. Are they spending? Are they opening the checkbook? What's BYU doing?
Well, you know, honestly, I can't pronounce the Hooper's name. I know they gave him, like, what, 6 to 8 mil? And I think, obviously, when it came, you know, to basketball, it's almost all about, you know, who's spending the most amount of money. Supposedly the deal with that kid, though, was he had multiple schools offering the same amount. He just really felt good about BYU. You know, with Ryder Lyons, I think, you know, I've been doing this almost 30 years, and I kind of understand when you're talking about LDS kids, Ryder's, you know, he's Mormon. Yeah. He will take a one-year Mormon mission. You know, those kids are just drawn to the church. They're drawn to the church school, which is BYU. BYU has had a lot of success over the years with quarterbacks. You don't even have to go way back to, you know, the Steve Young or the Detmers. We're talking Isaac Wilson 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever it was, right? So I think Ryder felt a connection early on with USC and also with Oregon. But I think the longer this kind of went on, we started to get more of a BYU vibe. I know, you know, Brendan Huffman, who I work closely with, you know, he always kind of felt BYU was going to ultimately win out. And so, you know, it wasn't anything that Oregon, you know, didn't do. It was just church connection, faith connection. the lure of going to BYU. And I want to say there was a lot of pressure on him, but there was. And I think that's why also this kind of dragged out a little bit. But end of the day, Ryder felt like BYU was the best spot for him. I definitely don't think it was just a money grab. I'm pretty confident if he was all about money, he could have found schools that were going to offer more than what BYU did. He even made a point to say, you know, when he was on Pat McAfee's show, that he thinks the real money is in the NFL. And I totally agree with that. I think a lot of times you've seen these kids who are making choices just based on money. And the real money is going to come from NFL. So pick a school you can, you know, feel good about. You can get developed. You feel good about the coaches and the offense. I think that's what he did, and he really likes BYU for him.
In this era now of revenue sharing and NIL, do you expect that players will be less likely to jump in the portal? Will they stick it out a little more? Or what do you think is going to happen in the next year or two as revenue sharing becomes a bigger deal?
So I'm super curious, and I honestly, I would be lying if I said I totally understood it, because my understanding is, yeah, rev share is supposed to level the playing field, right? Level the playing field out. Every school gets your $20 million. There's going to be a cap, and you can't spend over the cap. But yet, then there's still this. Then they have NIL, you know, that comes alongside of the revenue share, and you're allowed to make as much NIL as what your value is. And who's to really say? I know there's, you know, a committee that's going to determine your value, but I've always felt, you know, your value is what someone's willing to give you. So I still feel like, you know, I'm seeing, like, these players that are just signing for these huge NIL deals. And I thought the deadline had already kind of passed on being able to do that. That's why a lot of schools, you know, USC namely, was doing a great job of getting guys to commit early where they can get that NIL deal signed before the deadline. But we're still seeing players do it afterwards. And so I'm curious how these people are going to fit all these players under a 20 mil cap. I'm curious if once you sign your deal, is that not your NIL deal, not part of the 20 mil cap? That's just a revenue share cap. So it's all kind of confusing to me. And honestly, I'm kind of just learning as I go.
We're talking to Greg Biggins, 24/7 Sports National Recruiting Analyst. Okay. So Oregon misses on this kid. And I think you're right. I think it came down to, you know, him being a BYU kid, Ryder Lyons will choose BYU. He will go on a mission. It will be a brief mission. I think it's just going to be 1 year instead of the normal customary two. But what does Oregon do? Do they spin out of that now going, hey, we got to find a quarterback? Because I know they've missed on a couple. One went to USC, one went to Georgia. What are they doing in the class of 2026 in your eyes?
Yeah, no, so they just tripped in two quarterbacks last weekend, a couple of guys that I saw at the Elite 11 last week, ironically. One of them was Matt Ponatowski out of Ohio, also, you know, projected to be a top, you know, first-round, second-round pick in baseball, 95-mile-an-hour fastball. And then a guy that I really love, Bryson Bieber. You know, we have him rated a little bit lower now. That'll be revolved tomorrow. Bryson also took a trip there. He's probably the hottest quarterback right now, honestly, in the country. Local SoCal kid from out here put on 20 pounds in the last year and just made a huge jump in terms of his ability to throw the football. Always been a good athlete. Just a phenomenal kid, and just the growth that he has had has been phenomenal to watch. So, yeah, he just visited. LSU Auburn offered him yesterday. Ole Miss has offered him. He may visit Ole Miss at some point. Obviously, right now we're in a dead period, so if he wants to wait, you know, he has to wait until after this dead period, I want to say in August. So I think Oregon probably feels good about one of those two guys. I think Bryson probably is the guy. He did take an unofficial trip to Ole Miss, so he didn't necessarily have to visit them after the dead period. But I think Oregon probably feels confident with Bieber, and I think he would be a great pickup at the quarterback position.
The idea that you wait to see who shows up matters in your world. So you talk about, hey, it's June or July. We can look at these classes and see where they're ranked. I used to wait until we actually saw them in uniform. Where does Greg Biggins, when do you go, hey, this is the class? Do you wait until signing day? Do you wait until guys get to campus? When do you sort of count the chickens?
Yeah, no, it used to be signing day. And now we're kind of seeing that doesn't really matter as much anymore, right? So I think I'm still just kind of wired that once they sign, I just assume, okay, that's it. He's locked in. And yeah, people can get out of your letters of intent. because it's not even a letter of intent. I misspoke. It's now just a scholarship agreement, right? So it's easy for those players to get out of a scholarship agreement, binds the school, not the player. So, you know, that early signing period in December, that's kind of when I really start to say, okay, that's your recruiting class. Obviously, it comes February, a month and a half later, and, you know, that's when it really matters. But I think December, when you kind of see, that's when I'll really start to say, okay, these 10 schools, they did really well. The next 15, they did great as well. You know, that's so between now and December, a lot to go. A lot of things could happen between now. But again, how you play with football pads on is always the biggest thing. Right now, kids are coming right now based off of NIL deals or based on maybe a coach relationship. That coach may not be there between now and December, or based on a promise. Hey, you know, we were competitive last year. This year we're going to win big. And then they don't win big, and now what happens? Or this other team that you like but didn't win, now they're 8-2. So, like, the football season always carries so much weight, and that's why I don't really stress out about summer recruiting.
Greg, you know, I'm looking at Boise State, life after Ashton Jeanty, and I'm thinking about the Pac-12 a lot. They just announced yesterday one of their TV partners will be CBS, will give them good exposure. They're talking about adding Texas State, and I hear the argument come up, hey, playing football games in the state of Texas, even if you're playing Texas State, allows you to recruit Texas. I would love to get somebody who works in that recruiting world to tell me that playing, you know, against Texas State, who sitting between Austin and San Antonio, 40,000 students, they go 8-5 last year. They're kind of just getting on the radar in some ways for people nationally. Does being able to play a game there help Boise State, help Oregon State, Washington State recruit the state of Texas? Or what do you make of that?
Yeah, I think a little bit. You know, you always want to be able to tell kids, hey, we're going to come back and your family can come see you play, even if it's not, you know, once every other year. Now, obviously, let's not be naive. You talked about the top players in Texas. Those top guys, their first choice is going to be Texas or Texas A&M or Oklahoma or some of the other superpowers that recruit out of the state of Texas. So you're going to be competing for maybe not the top kid, but that next level kid who doesn't have that offer from Bama or Texas or USC or, you know, or Oregon. Why not, right? I think I miss the Pac-10, Pac-12. I do miss it, and I hope it has a lot of success. So I think if you bring in a Texas school, maybe open up a little bit of a pipeline and bring in some of that Texas talent out west. Because I'll tell you what, man, as a California guy, right now Texas is absolutely rolling. You watch the NFL draft. Last year, Texas had twice as many players drafted as California. There was so much talent in Texas right now. It's kind of become the state over Florida, California, and Georgia. I think right now Texas is it. So there's a lot of talent. And I think having exposure to those kids can only help.
Greg Biggins with us, 24/7 Sports National Recruiting Analyst. Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, can you give us sort of a taste on, relative to what Alabama historically did under Nick Saban, is Kalen DeBoer delivering talent to his roster? Is he having a harder time? Where does Alabama fit right now in the SEC?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think Alabama fans, I don't want to use the word spoiled, but I mean, if you're not in the playoffs every year, people are wondering, you know, what the heck's going on. So I think he's a great coach. I think right now they're recruiting better than what their ranking is. I think they're not even in the top 25 right now, but I think, again, just like I said with Oregon, it's early. They're involved with a ton of kids. They're involved with the right kids. I think, you know, they're coming off a 2025 class that was top five, right? So it's not like they're laid a complete egg last year. They signed my favorite quarterback. They're making a bigger effort out west. And I think a lot of people are kind of not sure about that. You know, I think there's a little bit of a, you know, the best players in the country are in the south. And I don't know if that necessarily the fan base loves that they're recruiting out in California as much as they are. But again, not off to a great start right now, not a top 25, not a top 30 class, but did great last year. They're involved with a ton of kids. It's a great staff that works hard. And I do see them winning a lot of games this season. So I think with Alabama, that's not a school or Kalen DeBoer is not a coach that I would stress or worry about. I think they're going to be just fine.
I am looking at, you know, the Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan contingent in the Big Ten. A lot of people have said, hey, this is going to be Penn State's year. What about Michigan? You know, will Michigan get back? Can they get back? Do you see Michigan being a contender in the Big Ten under new coaching staff, not Jim Harbaugh's staff? Or is that going to be a little trickier climb than most people expect?
You know, defense is going to be good. It just always comes down to the quarterback position, and they got to figure that out. Obviously, you know, Bryce Underwood, generational talent, but he's a freshman, so it's going to be tough. He's extremely talented. He was our number one player, but I mean, it's really, really hard for a quarterback to come in as a true freshman and play at such a high level. You know, Trevor Lawrence did it. You know, Bryce Young had to, you know, wait his turn for a year before he kind of took the helm. So there's two ways to kind of skin the cat. So throw the guy out there and see how he does, or wait a year and let him kind of digest the speed of the game, the playbook and all that. Their quarterback group is not very good, so I think there's a great chance that they're going to have to play Underwood. And I think it's going to be probably one of the most fascinating things to watch is just how good can he be. Again, Michigan, defensively, they're going to be extremely good. They always have, you know, tons of pieces, but the quarterback position is going to be what's key. I think that's why people are high in Penn State. Drew Aller, who has struggled at times, but when his flashes are extremely high. And I think he's a first-round talent if he puts it all together. Ohio State, they have Julian Sain, and they've had back-to-back just unbelievable recruiting classes. So wide receiver room is probably the best in the country at Ohio State as well. So I think of those three schools, you know, I think people are high on Penn State for a lot of reasons. The quarterback is a big one. And then with Michigan, it's a little bit of a question mark. Even though you have an absolute dude, it's, you know, can he be a dude right away, right out of the gate?
Dagan Rose, class of 26 quarterback who says he wants to go to Oregon State. Anytime I write anything about Oregon State, he retweets it, he reposts it. Seems like he's all in. Those are good markers, are they not, for Oregon State?
Yeah, no. I mean, I was pulling for Oregon State in the College Baseball World Series. That was my pick, the click. That was disappointing. But, no, Deegan Rose is good. You know, we had a chance to see him at the NorCal Elite 11. I thought he had a chance to actually make that Final 20. Just missed the cut. But, I mean, that's a nice little piece. And the quarterback is always kind of your headliner. But looking at the rest of their class, I mean, they got some really quality players that I like a lot. Donovan Dunmore's a DB that just committed 2 days ago. For me, he is a high-level power four guy, big, long, athletic track kid. And, you know, looking at the class, again, have no clue what it's rated off the top of my head, but I like the pieces. And, again, you start off with the quarterback, Deegan Rose, your guy right there. John, I know you've seen him personally. Yeah. I think he's a strong building block for sure.
I just like the kid. And you probably have this experience. I mean, you tell us because you get out in the field a lot and you see kids. And I went to see him play. He was thrown in a 7-on-7 drill, and he, you know, before the drill started, I just played catch with him and stood off to the side and talked to him, and I just had a real good feel. And you know what it reminded me of? Like, it, you know, granted, I had been in Fresno before. I'd covered, you know, David Carr when he was the quarterback at Fresno State, and I remember playing catch with Derek Carr on the sideline, and I thought, gosh, Deegan Rose got a little Derek Carr in him.
That's not bad. Shoot. If he's like any of the Carr brothers, dude, you take that 9 out of 10 times. 10 out of 10 times, what am I saying? I love the whole Carr family. So, yeah, he's 6'2". Again, with us, we love the multi-sport background. We found that it translates well to, you know, college and even NFL success, and even for quarterbacks, is having that multi-sport. He's a legitimate baseball, you know, catcher with a big arm and a good, strong frame, athletic, tough kid. And you know, you kind of made a good point, and you know, you can definitely like a kid, and it could actually almost affect how you rate that player, which is why, right, you know, with us, we have kind of split. You know, we have a recruiting team, you know, the Brendan Huffmans, the Blair Angulos, the Brian Doans, those guys track recruiting. Then we have our scout team over here just to make sure that if you really like a kid or don't like a kid, trust me, dude, we've come across a lot of prima donna guys that just were bad kids, and you don't want to let that affect your rating. You gotta stay professional. So we kind of split the team up just to avoid that from happening.
But you do run into cases where you go, gosh, the guy's a great talent, but I wouldn't want him in my locker room.
100,000%. I can't even tell you. We just had a conversation just now, again, talking quarterbacks, and we just had Elite 11, but there's a couple guys that were out there. And then a couple guys who didn't make it that we said, you know what, this guy would be an absolute locker room killer. you call him a coach killer because yeah. this is the kind of guy you bring in because he might have some talent, but he's got zero leadership, not coachable, doesn't care about his teammates, me first guy, not tough, won't stand in, won't work hard off the field. All he cares about is himself. Like, you can see that at the high school level, and I've already said this guy will hit the portal at least twice with multiple players. So, yeah, you can spot that right away.
I am eager to see what happens with all of this. You get to see these kids before we get to see them on the college football field. Greg Biggins, great follow on social media. He brought the heat here today. Nothing but positivity and energy. Biggins, thank you for coming on, man.
Always, always. Good talking to you.
You too, buddy. There he goes. I love that, especially that last little piece. Because we always hear coaches talk about, you know, Mario Cristobal told me once he watches how the recruits treat their mother. How do they speak to the mom? They treat their mother poorly, it goes in their file. Dan Lanning has talked about, you know, wanting the right kids. Certainly from a baseball perspective, I can remember Pat Casey saying, you know, I don't need all the best players. I just need some of them. And the rest is about culture and building getting the kinds of players in your locker room that you think can help your team grow and get better. Great stuff from Biggins. Coming up, much more ahead, we'll talk about the college football landscape. Is it getting trickier to win a national championship, or does the path clear for some of these teams? Or will it be the same old, is that all we're going to see from the college football playoff? Will it be Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and Georgia and Alabama? Is it just going to be the same old? How boring would that be? If we've learned anything from Adam Silver's league in the NBA, he's taken a page from Roger Goodell in the NFL. Silver's had, I think, 8 different champions in his 12 seasons. It feels a little bit more like the NFL where, you know, a bunch of different teams are making the playoffs. Everybody feels like they have a chance. We'll talk about that and unpack it coming up. Leave it here. You got the BFT.